This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Baseball.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to our friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Do you think we could talk Joe Creedy and Aramis Ramirez to come back and play third base for the White Sox and Cubs?
I think they could catch a ground ball.
It's a black hole right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's right in the middle of each third baseman's glove. That's where the ball goes through it. They can't catch a grounder.
I mean, here's the weird thing, Bruce. I don't know how many guys have played third base this year for the Cubs. You know, Matt Shaw, Gage Workman already gone.
Birdie
has played. Brujan
Turner.
Has played. Did Turner? So we got five. They had seven last year, all gone.
Gary Scott. Is Gary Scott in there?
Kevin Ory.
Yeah.
Keep going. I'm with you, Bruce.
Who's the third baseman? Who is it?
Who's on first?
Exactly.
Yeah. The reality is that the plan that we hear from the Cubs is we're waiting for Matt Shaw. I don't believe that's really the mantra going on in the hallways at Clark and Addison. I believe that they're looking for a practical solution to third base. If indeed Shaw is not ready to play this year. I mean, he looks like a guy that has a lot of talent that eventually is going to hit, but because you have a need for it doesn't necessarily make him ready to help you win right now. So this is a win right now team. Development is a part of it. We saw a lot of it last year with PCA, with Amaya, with Bush. Some of the pitching as well, you know, and now we're seeing a team that is ready to try to win a division and go deep in the playoffs and to have a whole third base. You know, again, you know, ideally they get a bullpen guy at the end, they get a third baseman, they get a starting pitcher. How much, you know, is that going to cost you as far as players and money? We don't know, but you know, looking at their situation over the next 2 years, this is a time to win.
Bruce, I heard you say that on Marquee. Mully talked about it this morning. I have to say, I don't necessarily agree. And I have to say this because two-year windows, I think that you're looking at the end of the 2026 season because of the potential work stoppage, but explain to me why you believe that when, in fact, the Cubs have rebuilt their farm system to the point where they believe it's probably open for maybe 3 to 5 years. And if you lose Kyle Tucker this year, I think next year is not a realistic window. So you want to keep it open because your talent in the minors is good enough to believe that. How did you arrive at the two-year window?
Well, okay, so beyond 2026, there's only two Cub players that are signed, okay? Imanaga, right, and Swanson. That's it. okay? Everybody else is either a free agent or not under any type of term contract. So with that in mind, you know, who is replacing your left fielder? Who is replacing your right fielder? Who is replacing your DH? Who is replacing a second base? Again, I'm a believer that their farm system looks good, but realistically, how many of those guys are going to make it to being quality starting ball players on a contending team? You know, I don't think that there is a window, and this isn't just the Chicago Cubs. I believe a lot of teams are in the same boat because of the proposed lockout in 2026 in December and the unknown of 2027 and beyond. So I don't think a lot of teams are planning beyond 2027 as far as what they're doing as far as signing guys up. You know, is Tucker going to be getting $500 million, and is there nobody going to be around him to play to help him win? So those are things that, you know, people look at and I'm looking at right now and saying, these next 2 years are that's the time for the Cubs to win.
I like it. I saw it yesterday. I wrote down all the names that were on the screen. I like it. I think the problem I have is, and I mean it sincerely, are you saying in a way that you don't need to extend Tucker because there's going to be this work stoppage because the collective bargaining agreement is going to expire and you don't want to be paying a guy and having biblical losses? Is that kind of the other end of the deal?
No, let's make it more concise and say, are you going to extend Happ? Are you going to extend Suzuki? Are you going to extend Horner? Okay, are you going to are you going to look at some of your pitchers? You know, every single pitcher who's under a long-term contract is gone.
Yep.
You know, after this time
period,
as well.
Yeah,
they're all gone. So again, there'll be other guys out there. But again, when you talk about Tucker, when people talk about, hey, we must sign Tucker, you're missing the point of the infrastructure of the rest of the players being there. How much is it going to cost the franchise to build that along with Tucker?
But I think it's one or five. I don't think it's. I think that if you don't sign Kyle Tucker at the end of this year, your World Series window is not open next year. I think that you have to reevaluate all those questions that you just posed. They don't really. You can't answer that right now because everything is contingent upon re-signing Kyle Tucker. If you don't, then really, I'm not sure you want to re-sign Ian Happ. I don't know you want to re-sign Seiya Suzuki. I think you're ready to look around and see what else is out there, Bruce, and I just think it's a different dynamic. It's hard to look ahead beyond 2025 because we just don't know.
Not if you're running the Cubs. But David, that's for you and me and Mike. Not for if you're the Cubs, you have to look beyond that, don't you? I mean, you have to have prognostication of the third, fourth, fifth, sixth year from now.
That's why you have your farm system to the extent that it built up
how
it is.
How many farm systems just, you know, it's like what the White Sox are doing right now. We're looking at five or six really good young farm system guys that you can project for the major leagues. That's not going to make them a champion.
No.
Once you get those guys there, you have to plug in.
They
and
don't.
You have to continue to plug in.
You know, the horror of the White Sox, they don't have enough. They don't have enough. I mean, they would have to hit on all those guys in order to even contend. They are, you know, they got three Rule 5 guys because they've had to shortcut it because they don't have the minor league system. There's no kind of middle class to them. So it's all going to be youth and hope.
It's an expansion franchise.
Yes.
We've been saying it for a couple years. And you know what? Product-wise, you can see some of the pitching coming, but you can't see the winning yet. You can't see that this year, probably not next year. But, you know, if they continue to hit on the pitching and they start building some offensive players to go along with it, you know, you might have something. But, you know, going back to the Cubs, to me, the reality is once they made the big trade for Tucker, they said, we are in win-now mode, okay? And that's not to save Hoyer's job or Hawkins' job. It's because you're the Chicago Cubs, and you should feel like you want to win every year. And I think Mr. Ricketts and Crane Kenny and the baseball people all feel that way right now. And I think, you know, they shouldn't look at themselves any differently. Cub fans shouldn't look at their team any differently than, oh, we hope to get in. It's not that it should never be we hope to get in.
We agree with that, Bruce. I agree with that, Bruce. But I think that when you are looking at this year and you're talking about planning for beyond this year, you don't know what you're going to want because you're not there yet. You don't know how this season is going to go. I don't know if I want to keep these guys that we mentioned earlier or lock them up if you're going a different direction, if you fall short the season and Kyle Tucker says goodbye.
Yeah, if you lose Kyle Tucker,
you're changing the dynamic of your entire operation.
Exactly.
You may want to invest in pitching.
Have they wrapped their minds around that idea that they're going to have to keep this guy and bite the bullet on
it? It can't be one guy. It just can't be. Well, the plan has to be much more than that.
It has to start somewhere, and it starts with this guy.
It's right now. It's now. And if you guys say, hey, you know, we have a source that they're talking to him about a $500 million extension, I wouldn't be surprised by that. I wouldn't be shocked by why wouldn't they have conversations? That doesn't mean there's no commitment if you have conversations. The guy is wide open to it. The Cubs are smart enough to know this is a franchise player, a guy that can be one of the top players in the league for the next four or five years.
He really is. He really is the guy. You know, we talk about they need like a 5-WAR, 8-WAR player.
That's it.
That's him.
That's it. Yeah. And
sure. And absolutely.
And Bruce, if they are all in on this season to the extent that we all have agreed they are, then the answer to the third base question isn't in Iowa. All right, it's got to be somewhere else. I don't know where else it is, Colorado, or in
one of the cities where they're struggling, the Minnesota, or one of the places that's going to trade early. Again, getting somebody to trade along with you and not getting ripped off, very difficult on May 1st, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're, from my knowledge, of what's going on there, they are working extremely hard to try to find these pieces to win, not just to compete, but to win. And I'm all with them. The idea is you have to find a partner to deal with, and it's not necessarily out there on May 1st. It might be on the 15th of May or June 1st. So they will keep pushing forward and looking at this. But the answers internally are minimal right now. You know, Cade Horton might be an answer for you in the pitching staff in the next week to 2 weeks. I heard you guys talking to Tommy Hotovy. They're extremely pleased with what's going on there. He has very little innings put in. Last year, 34 innings coming back from arm problems. So they're being careful there. But eventually, why not get the bullets that he has left up here and dominating here if that's the case?
I think that's the point of asking the question. And when you look at his early start at Iowa, you're encouraged, and then you can help your pitching staff that way, but you're not going to solve your biggest problem, which might be, well, depending on the day, depending on the series, third base or the bullpen. But I think you need to address the bullpen at some point, as well. The
thing is, they're not going to score 7 runs a game. They're 2-9 in games where they haven't scored 4 runs, 3 runs or less. Okay, that's going to happen to you a lot. It might happen today. You're facing Paul Skeens today, right? That might be happening today. That's the reality of a baseball season. The other reality is they're playing 600 baseball. They have a lot of ways to come at you and beat you this year. So this is a pretty good team. It can be an excellent team. It can be a team that can go deep into the playoffs. I think that's what they're all looking at, hoping for. I think the fan base certainly is as well.
And you know, I think it's interesting because we heard from Craig Counsell yesterday before the game, and he was asked about how well Moses Ballesteros is playing in AAA, and does that bat need to be up here? And the answer is there's no spot for that bat. And, you know, the answer is
no. That's a good thing, right?
I agree. But, I mean, he was very frank about it. If something were to happen, yeah, that's the guy you look at. But right now, there's nowhere for the guy. I think we all know that. I wonder, like, why that would be the answer on the south side, why the Tim Elko question, who went on a power tear for a week, why isn't that guy playing? I don't get it. I don't.
Well,
that's
if you're
a
ready
team
to sit,
robbed of runs.
If you're ready to sit Vaughn, you know, and
send him to Arizona. Get him, okay. Get him taking part in the Colson Montgomery plan.
Look, I'm hoping Chris Getz sends all of us to Arizona for, you know, 3 or 4 days. It'd be nice. And you know, that's just, you know, it's not fair. I agree with how they're handling Montgomery. I really do. The idea that if you were going to send him down to Birmingham,
right,
would have just been too traumatic for him and the organization. The smart thing was to send him with Fuller, who's their top hitting guy in the organization,
right,
spend some time there, rework some things if you have to, and get him back up there. I think it was a very smart move on their part. It's unconventional, but I think it was the wise move.
But they should do the same thing with Vaughn. I'm just telling you, create
send him
an
to the
injury.
Camelback Spa.
Yes, get the man a rub down. Because he can't play. It's just awful to watch. And you don't tell me he's unlucky. Don't come out and say he's unlucky. As Ozzie said to us, whatever his
but the exit velocity,
exit
Mully,
velocity
the
says,
exit velocity's high.
It's he's hitting it where they are. Like, isn't there an old adage, try not to hit it where they are? That sounds good to me. This guy's not able to play.
I've never accepted the hard hit idea, the hard hit angle, because you're going to have as many lucky soft hits as you do hard hits.
Exactly.
If you continually put the ball in play.
Right.
Okay, so he's not putting the ball in play enough.
That's
the bottom line. Again, it's unfair that it's all on Vaughn and Robert and Benintendi, but that's all that anyone can identify
exactly as
a chance. Yeah, it's all you can identify is major league quality players right now. You know, the good news is Quero is coming as the catcher. You know, you have Madroth coming back. You hope there's good things happening there with the offense. But right now, you know, 3 runs or less, you're going to lose, you know, probably 80% of those games.
So did Will Venable come off the opener idea because they sent Tyler Gilbert
the opener? I thought it was because of the left-handed
down
lineups changed, right? Wasn't that?
Charlotte, but the left-handed lineup, is this something he's going to go back to at some point?
I don't think it's not sustainable, right? You don't, on a team that doesn't have a setup man and a permanent closer, you can't have an opener, right? Because you don't have enough pitchers. I think it was a good idea. It kind of took some pressure off of the young starting pitchers who have pitched in a lot of situations extremely well. That's the bright side, is that they do have really good young arms that have been pitching well, but it's not sustainable to have an opener, and they know it, we know it. It's just they're trying to win some ball games, and I think Venable is holding up extremely well under the circumstances. I think he's not being looked at as stupid or ridiculous or defensive, which is hard to do when your team is 7-23.
Those are things, the good things not to be, Bruce, when
yeah,
you're
I know,
baseball
but they,
manager.
They were there in the
you're
past.
You're right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, honest to God, I know exactly what you're saying, because I thought Pedro was all those things.
This is a really bright baseball guy, and he doesn't lose it either by trying to defend himself, right?
Yeah.
He's just a baseball guy trying to help his team win every day. I think he's the right guy. I hope that he gets enough talent to prove it next year and the year after.
Yeah, it's a talent problem, obviously, and it kind of is upsetting that they have no talent. I mean, I don't understand why they didn't go out and buy a few players, and everyone's like, oh, well, you know, you want your young guys to take those hits and to be up at bat. It's not like they're loaded with young guys. They got just underpaid veteran guys. They don't have good young players right now.
Yeah, Bruce.
Yesterday was a sad reminder of last year, wasn't it?
I mean,
that game with 3 errors and base running gaffes and things of that nature. It was just, there's been games, they've lost a lot of one-run games. They're in games. Okay, good. Last night's game was just horrid to watch.
Gage Workman's running out of Chicago teams to make an error for.
Yeah, there's 3 or 4 more in other sports.
Chicago Dogs?
Yeah.
Next?
Oh, no, that hurts.
Ooh. That's wow. That's tough. I'm not going there with you, Dave.
I'm not trying to take you there. I'm sorry. I hope he stays. I hope he wasn't a defensive liability in spring training. Wasn't his glove the best thing about him when he was with the Cubs in Mesa?
I thought he was hitting a little.
But again, it's the same thing. Projecting a young guy that's never played above double A, right, mm-hmm. to play in the big leagues. And the same thing with Shaw. Very brief time at AAA last year. These are two talented guys, but they belong in the minor leagues, working toward getting back up here, getting enough at-bats at AAA. Whatever happened to the idea of dominating in the minor leagues before you're brought up to the major leagues? I think that's been by the boards now for a while.
Good stuff, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce. You're the best,
guys,
buddy.
Have a great day.
Yep. That is Bruce Levine. That was really interesting stuff yesterday, and we just had a good conversation with him about it.
Bruce actually does a great job of giving us things to think about.
Giving you things to disagree with.
Well, sometimes. Sometimes. Hey, we have a Cubs lineup. We'll get to it when we come back.
Oh, beautiful. All right. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score.
For all the lineup Easters out there right now,
welcome back, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thanks, Joe Madden. Good reminder of what we really are at our core. We are all lineupistas.
Yes.
We all got a little Dustin Rhodes in us,
no.
Like it or not. Right?
Well, we have a good lineup here. We got new breaking information player, and everything's going
to
work out.
It's a lineup we talked about. I don't know if it's new. It might be new to you, but we discussed it earlier.
Yeah, I know, but it's like the seven last year. This is the sixth different third baseman.
Yeah, well, no, I think this is
his debut, right?
Nicky Lopez is playing third base.
Thank you.
Just like I had suggested. Just going to say that. We talked about this. This is pick six, right?
We've talked about the third base problem for quite some time.
Nicky Lopez specifically.
Juan Damas over here.
Yeah.
Well, they have the Odyssey app. It's working in Pittsburgh.
Why did they sign him?
Craig Counsell's listening.
So he could not make an error. That's it.
Okay. Not make an error, but also left-handed bat that needs to grind out every at-bat and every pitch against Paul Skene's right-hander.
Yeah. He's gonna be able to not make an error.
True. Well,
I don't expect him to wind up with three hits today.
Leading off, this is sounding familiar. Ian Happ,
mm-hmm.
Tucker, Suzuki, the DH. Bush batting fourth at first. Nico Horner in the fifth spot. That's moving up. That's a different attempt.
He needs to find his stroke yet again.
Yeah, I think he's not as bad as some other guys in the lineup.
No,
so he's fifth. PCA batting sixth. I like that because more at bats from the left side against Skene's. The first Paul Skene's and PCA matchup is going to be must watch. That's a great matchup. All right, Miguel Amaya batting seventh. Dansby Swanson batting eighth.
You said the first one. Aren't they all going to be fun to watch?
Especially the first one.
Okay, only the first one.
Paul Skene's might not be a second one. Maybe they knock Skene's out.
Yeah, when he homers in the second inning, that's going to knock out Skene.
He might bat around. Dansby Swanson batting eighth, and then Nicky Lopez. Nicky Lopez, as we discussed earlier in the show, batting ninth, playing third base.
Yeah.
After John Birdie's error led to two unearned runs in last night's loss.
Not good.
Which I think we termed earlier a Jed Hoyer loss, a front office loss.
Oof.
Just because the third base revolving door, it needs to stop. Revolving.
2 years running.
Well,
if you're looking at the overall number of third basemen starting over 2 years, I think we're...
Seven last year, seven different ones.
And six, is this the sixth one?
Well, I think that it's Shaw,
yep.
Bruhan,
yep.
Workman.
That's three.
He's gone. Then you had Birdie.
Yep.
And
Turner for one game,
right?
Yep.
Turner did start there for one game.
He did, didn't
so
he?
This is Nicky. This is Nicky Lopez.
So that's,
oh my gosh, we're up to six.
I just said that.
We're up to six. Where is the answer going to come from?
It's not the unlucky number 13.
Bruce said and alluded to this being a year of urgency, and that will be reflected in how the Cubs pursue the answer to this question. who's going to play third, who's going to stabilize the position. And I don't know if this year that answer is Matt Shaw. As much as he is hitting well at AAA Iowa right now, and you know how much I enjoyed his ascension in spring training, but
too much.
I enjoyed it too much?
You kind of did. You kind of thought it was the answer, and it kind of wasn't. If you had been a little more insistent on them getting a certain player that wound up in Boston, things might be easier.
Oh,
right,
my gosh,
now.
Alex Bregman. It's the curse of Alex Bregman. That's how about this text, 773? You think I'm bad? Listen to this. If you're just looking for third base defense, bring Bodie back.
Oh, where is Bodie?
I don't think he's in baseball.
He's out of baseball.
I don't think David Bodie is.
You loved him.
Shoot, I take Miles Mastroboni back.
Oh, my gosh, Dustin.
That's a stretch.
Take that one. We're going to have to hear that
I don't think that you're serious about that.
Well, the way things have been going lately.
Miles Mastroboni's not the answer. No, I don't think he is. I think the answer is on another team. I don't think they're going to go. I don't think the Cardinals would trade Nolan Arenado to the Cubs. I don't think that's going to happen. There's got to be somebody else out there that fits.
Miguel Vargas.
Not Miguel Vargas. No.
Who said that?
That was you trying to inject the socks into this conversation.
No, that was me trying to get you to say it.
No, I don't think that's the answer either. If the Cubs can hit well enough all season long to make the third base issue a moot point, then that'd be great. But I think it's unrealistic. Also, defensively, this is a team that wants to have a defensive identity.
Yes.
But last night, Birdie's error hurt. And, you know, let's face it. Dansby Swanson made that Andrew McCutchen double, in air quotes, into a double. I don't think he was trying to be a little bit too – and he's a great defensive shortstop. Don't get me wrong. But last night, I think he misplayed that, and then he kicked it in the right field like he was on a penalty kick.
See,
slide tackle.
He's that close to taking some real –
like a slide tackle.
No,
he's like a slide tackle, yeah.
He's talking about –
Mallory.
I didn't want to bring it up, but that's – yeah.
It was definitely a kick that the Stars would be proud of. Let's just say that.
Oh, boy.
Because it went into right field, and then it turned into a double, and the game was over.
I know we joked about it, and he's now on the IL, and he's only hitting 190. But, I mean, what about Moncada? If the Angels were to decide we're done with Moncada?
No.
He can field.
Field?
I don't know. If the Angels
wouldn't have been a terrible idea.
Well, no, in retrospect, that might not have been a bad idea. But I don't think now. No, I think you can do better. I think you can make a trade of some substance. And you have to look at the available third baseman and the teams that are willing to part with a starter, the guy that can play every day. You know, Texas says 6-3-0, Patrick Wisdom.
That's where I was going.
He's in Korea.
He's been murdering the ball, by the way.
Yeah.
How many home runs now?
Oh, I think it's 7 or 8 already. And is it the KBO or the KGB or what is that?
It's a KBO, I believe.
KBO?
Yeah, but I don't know that.
And you wouldn't make like 3 moves to fix it, would you?
To fix third base?
Right, meaning would you move Nico to third and would you move Bush to second and would you call Ballesteros up?
No, you wouldn't make 3 moves. You make 1 move. You put Bush at third base. He's a good enough athlete. He could play there. I thought about that.
Isn't that 2 moves?
Yeah, you said 3.
Oh, I said what about making 3 moves?
Oh, I would say make 2.
Who's a better third baseman? Nico or Bush?
Bush is working where he's at.
I understand.
Why are you moving him to third
Because
base?
Ballesteros can't play anything but first.
Yeah, you need to open up a spot for a bat. And Ballesteros would be the bat that you want.
Well, that's good.
And I think that Michael Bush can't be much worse defensively than what you have right now.
It's like you're throwing down a challenge to the guy.
I think Michael Bush is a good athlete. He's definitely a good athlete.
He's a good first baseman. He's doing well at his position.
Mm-hmm.
And you were worried about 3 guys when the season started. You kept saying the same 3 names, and they're all doing fine. And now we're going to start moving them around to solve problems where they could have solved them.
Just
try
to be creative. You got to be a creative problem solver, Mully.
You can't just accept
the status quo.
Yeah, I'm not that creative.
So let's say Nicky Lopez doesn't make an error today.
Yeah, he
and
won't.
Like, either walks or gets a hit. Doesn't Golden Sombrero against Skeens?
No,
run him back then against the Brewers?
Yeah.
He will.
Oh, yeah.
He will definitely not make an error today. I can't promise you he'll get on base, but
you definitely have to
feel like he won't make an error.
You ride the hot hand. So
a guy who doesn't make a guy who doesn't make an error is the hot hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just went through the list.
Yeah, well, we're lower in the standings.
In the last week alone, let's just talk about the last 10 days.
Yes.
Brujan, Workman, and Birdie all have made defensive miscues that have hurt the Cubs. So, yeah, I think if you get through a game errorless, that's a win.
Or how about if you had kept Bellinger? I just had a great caller from Shorewood. Keep Bellinger, and then you move Bush, and now you just boom, boom.
Thank you.
Boom, boom.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lineup Eastus, huh?
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. You still haven't used the money.
Boom, 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 boom.
You know that that's what I would prefer. And somebody is going to text in Cody Bellinger's stat line this year, which hasn't been very good.
No.
But you keep him in Chicago and you have a different story. And yeah, I think that would have been definitely a plausible alternative. Then you could have waited on
Shaw. He was cheaper than Bregman.
Oh, geez. You're right.
Keeping him was cheaper than going out and signing Bregman.
Get Hayes from the Pirates if you're serious. I like that text. I like that thought. Yeah. Go out and get somebody who might be in the window, since we're talking about windows, in the window of your championship window and is going to be approaching his prime, perhaps.
I am amazed that we are sitting here longing for guys that were cast asunder a year ago. We're going over the group from last year. I'm seriously amazed by that. And you said it. It's the number of booted balls that has led to that. So now it's just kind of shocking to me that we are looking at a sixth guy and it is May 1st. It is a big day. Big day in Chicago, you know. Think about the haymaker, all that stuff, everything that's happened, all the 1st of May and what it means to international workers. And now we're sitting here lamenting last year's list.
No, we're lamenting this year's list. No, I don't care about last year.
No, that's wrong because he's saying bring back.
I haven't said Master Boney was an option.
He did.
Master Boney is off the menu.
Miles Rigatoni.
For good. Okay. So I don't think that last year is relevant. I know it's fun to go through that list because they were struggling at that same position they're struggling at this year. But the options this year are different. They're just not better.
Well, I mean,
they're just not better.
I mean,
and that to me is
Nicky Lopez is starting.
Unfortunately, it is an indictment on the front office. You can't get there's no other way to look at it. You had a problem last year. You gambled that you were going to be right this year. Matt Shaw started slow. You sent him down. I understand that for his development, that was the best thing to do, but it also exposed a roster hole, made it even bigger.
Yeah, no.
And
question.
I think they would call that gaping. That's a gaping hole.
Roster hole.
Okay. That's why last night it was so frustrating because you had the Pirates there, and all you got to do catch the ground ball.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamental defense. Boom.
Well, I mean, again, I think you've got yourself a guy that can play defense, right? But there's a reason. I mean, you're high-fiving yourselves because he got cut already by someone else. You cut him, and then someone else cut him, and thank God he's there because now you need him. Because he won't make an error. Okay.
Cubs right here on the score. Pre-game is at 11. Zach is going to bring you all the updates on all the news in Pittsburgh. Just to keep it right here on 670 score. And right now you could be the sixth caller to our contest line.
Ooh, here it
312-540-0670. Win your way into our audience. See our show live Friday, May 16th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be part of the studio audience as we get you set for the Crosstown Series. With special guests, plenty of Cub Sox chatter, but also plenty of popcorn. It will be popped by Nuts on Clark and provided by them. Also popped by me because I'm a passionate popcorn popper. That's what Molly called me earlier.
Well, you are. You are a man of many passions, and one of which is popcorn popping.
Yes, I do love popcorn popping.
That's not an insult. That is a compliment, and we're mentioning one of your great strengths in life.
That's awesome.
You should feel good about it.
Thank
All right,
you.
We've got our colleagues next. We've got Layla and Marshall, and we will talk with them when we return Molly and Hall on the score.
And now you just boom, boom.